Welcome into the third shift, your home for Nebraska football talk late after the Huskers 38-31 loss to Indiana. I'm Mike Schaefer, joined by Brian Christofferson, Michael Bruntz, the Husker 24-7 team, working late into the evening. Gentlemen, a lot of different ways that we could go with this game. Brian, what do you want to jump into? Where do you want to take this thing first? I had two choices. I went with you instead of Bruntz.
Let's start with the first half when it was,
Looked good.
Yeah, it did. The offense comes out and they play with the best pace they've had almost all season. You made a comment off air that the second half against Illinois was maybe their best offensive performance. I would agree with that. I think their first half today was probably their second best, but yet you go to the break barely up because you give that classic, it's become a tradition for Nebraska to have this 10 or 14 point swing in games like these where Nebraska's going in, things are going their way, and then they have a good play call where Noah Vedral fakes like he's going to run forward, steps back to throw, and Cade Warner was open.
Yeah.
I didn't see it as much as you did, but you said he's wide open. And then two plays later, of course, you miss a block.
Was it two plays? Was there one in between there?
I think there was one.
Okay, I thought it was a nice play.
Either way, it was one or two plays later. You miss your block. Your running back misses a block. The shovel pass that probably had a good design to it that would have worked if it's executed right ends up being a fumble that's returned 63 yards. And boom, Indiana's ahead. And then, of course, there's just that feel over the game. Then, okay. This is another one of those games. I think that's what happens. There's this fog of okay, it's going to go south on Nebraska because we've seen this before.
You could feel the air just go out of the stadium after that moment too. I mean, people were dialed in. I think people are probably looking around at each other like, "Hey, look at this play calling. You know, where's this? The bye week worked." And then you've got the missed play and then the fumble going back the other way. I mean, credit to Noah Vedral for running the guy down, but, Nebraska just could not stay out of its own way as good as it was on offense. And, we'll get into the defensive part of it, but, man, I mean, that's a tape burner, I think, when you kind of get I would want to burn the tape. I hope that Nebraska learns something from that tape, but I thought offensively they played good enough to win tonight. The defense, defensive special teams was bad, real bad.
Well, sticking on the offense first, because yeah. I'm sure we're going to spend the bulk of the time on the defense. What you saw was more in line with what Nebraska was doing at the end of last season, in which their tempo was just at breakneck speeds at times, and it really was giving Indiana issues. Now, I know that we sort of discussed this up in the press box, and you never know what's a real injury, what isn't a real injury. Felt like a couple times Indiana had a few players that, were slow to get up when Nebraska was quick on the pace and quick to the ball, and that's what you want this offense to look like, because when you are going up-tempo, you don't have to have the best blocking in the world because you've kind of got them discombobulated. You've got them out of sorts, and we saw it very early in that game that's what they wanted to do. But, of course, the first turnover, and then they get the ball back inside their own 10-yard line, and Noah Vedral almost fumbles again on another carry, in which he, I think, got popped. And so he had a little bit of a knee or leg injury, and I think he just kind of released the ball on impact. But they get that ball back, and then McCaffrey comes in. And then we saw with Luke McCaffrey, a little limited in what he could do throwing the ball, maybe, though I think some of that was by design in the third quarter going against the wind. But for the most part, they were able to run the ball very effectively on offense. But so many little mistakes in this game, whether it was a Dedrick Mills missed block, whether it was the inexplicable, inexcusable Mike Williams penalty on fourth down.
Which they got.
Or third down, whatever it was.
It was fourth down, and they moved it. They had the first
just
down.
Just absolutely inexplicable and inexcusable. You can't do that in that situation as a veteran player who's getting to play a little bit, had made a nice catch. you're always checking with the refs to see if you're lined up where you need to be, or you know the situation of which you've got to be on the line of scrimmage or you have to be off because you can't cover anybody up. And I still cannot fathom how that happens, but I shouldn't be that surprised because that's just sort of Nebraska in a nutshell.
The gist of what we saw from the offense was good, and Luke McCaffrey was really good for a guy playing in really his first college game. And before we get to the defense, I don't want us to lose sight of it. Wandale Robinson is freaking special. I mean, he's as good, and I don't even think this is overkill. He's as good as almost any true freshman I've seen, certainly since I've been covering the team, just in how tough he is, how shifty and dynamic he is in space. And on a day when Indiana guys, as you mentioned, kept, I'll say it, I think faking injuries half the time.
Mm-hmm.
You have Wandale taking real hits and just getting up and up again. And, I mean, there was like four or five times in a row he got the ball back to back to back to back in a sequence, and it was like nothing to him. I mean, it's like he's a junior or senior out there.
We can certainly get into the culture part of it, too, I mean, if we want to after the defense. But, I mean, Wandale Robinson is a guy that you can – build a team around. When you've got a guy that's playing the way that he was playing, just completely selling out, I think that speaks to him and his future in the program. I mean, there were, you know, times in that game where he was getting a lot of yardage on his own, where he was fighting for extra yards and, you know, really kind of giving Nebraska's offense a boost when they needed one. I mean, it's kind of similar to what he did against Illinois, and this is, you know, basically 2 weeks removed from a pretty bad ankle injury that he suffered up at Minnesota. So I agree. I mean, it's going to be fun to see where he goes. But, yeah, I mean, this is another one of those games where you're like, Nebraska got themselves a damn special player.
What was interesting, too, and this can lead into another topic, is Wandale, McCaffrey, Cam Taylor-Britt, Garrett Nelson, all four of those guys were in the post game. And they all had comments about kind of, yeah, this does need to go in a different direction in this locker room, that type of deal. And I thought it was a fascinating part of the post game that you had these first or second year players really speaking out like that, which I don't know what to make of it quite yet.
Well, I think that they want to sort of avoid what has happened here over the last few years. I mean, you have a situation where you have a culture that's probably used to losing a little bit. And Darian Daniels called some guys out for not being focused going into the day. That didn't, those examples, those guys didn't sit well with Garrett Nelson or with Cam Taylor-Britt. You had Scott Frost talking about how it's not okay to just be okay. And that definitely was something Garrett Nelson went into very deep, whether it was, you know, he used every possible example you could think of, on the field, off the field, all of it. How you conduct yourself, how you handle yourself, how you treat your teammates, how you treat your coaches, how you treat the people around you, how you treat the game of football, how you prepare. I don't want to sit here and wax poetically about the fact that they've got these young guys that are embracing this mentality, but it is good that if your leadership can do that and they get other people on board, that's great. But at the end of the day, it still matters what is happening on the field. And I don't know if it's people like Mike Williams that they're talking about that aren't lining up correctly, even though it's something that you do all of the damn time and you know what you're supposed to be doing. I don't know if it's other defensive players or offensive players or whatever it is, but there is a culture of losing, and I think that's a very real thing. One of the reasons that Indiana was never really rattled today, which is kind of crazy to say because you don't think of Indiana football as having this great, you know, mental toughness or anything, but they were down 14-3, drove right down and scored a touchdown. They were down 14-9, forced that fumble, went down and scored. They were down 21-15, went down and scored. Or 21-16. I mean, they kept fighting back. I think some of that was established by the wins that they had. Even though the teams that they beat weren't particularly good, Tom Allen has built a culture in which they expect to be successful. And I think they went and proved that today. I don't think Scott Frost has built that yet. I think he's trying to. But Nebraska has to have some success on the field, and they have to get the hell out of their own way. Mm-hmm. And right now, they're very incapable of that.
Yeah, well, Indiana grabbed a moment all game long, and that's what Nebraska hasn't done so far near enough in the Frost era. And it, today, like third down, you said they had over 100 yards passing on third down, Browns?
Stats department will find that while you're talking.
But that sounds about right. I mean, they were 7 of 14 on that money down, and it even seemed worse than that. They were 2 of 2 on
fourth
down.
It seems like it'd be better.
They were 6 of 8 passing for 98 yards on 8.
And these were third and long.
And a fourth down, too.
Mm-hmm. But that's why it seemed so bad. We're not talking about, like, oh, they got a third and one. We're talking about, like, third and 9, third and 12s, where a second and 20 late in the game, it was second down on that long pass. But you get a holding penalty. You're down 7. Your offense has something going if you can get the ball back. And they give up a 38-yard jump ball. You know, that's just like Nebraska does not grab those moments. When Nebraska's offense caught a break early in the game, remember there was that third down where they were going nowhere and there was a face mask penalty? That's the very drive where Nebraska ended up screwing it up with Mike Williams and the missed kick and all that. So they just don't grab those opportunities where a team even gives them a break like that.
Yeah, I mean, I remember one specific third down where, you know, you've got a junior linebacker, a junior safety. Safety comes up, kind of moves the linebacker. There seemed to be some back and forth about, you know, whose responsibility was what. And both of those guys end up covering a guy on a crossing route, and they hit the running back out in the flat. It seemed like tonight, more than other games, that there were times, and there were key times, where it seemed like Nebraska defensively was really struggling to
communicate,
no responsibilities, and that's concerning, and especially on defense, where it's more veteran guys. I mean, you're talking about, you know, the people coming out and talking about culture and whatnot. A lot of those young guys are on offense that are contributing, and it's a lot of the veteran guys who are on the defensive side of the ball right now who don't seem like they're kind of making that next step.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know how you guys felt, but it was pretty early in that game that you could tell exactly what Indiana's offensive game plan was. It was to isolate Nebraska's linebackers and safeties on crossing routes all game long. And they did it.
On WAP.
And it was very obvious what they were trying to do. Like, and I'm somewhat baffled as to Nebraska's response to it. Because even after the game, I mean, Cam Taylor-Britt, I think you listened to the audio, Bruns.
Mm-hmm.
I was in the interview. The receiver, number one, the guy that torched Nebraska all day, and he basically said he knew what they were doing and what they wanted to do, and yet it felt like Nebraska had no answers for it. And they continually were putting guys in positions to fail. And you can't expect Colin Miller to cover this guy. You can't expect Mo Berry to cover this guy. Now, when he's torching Eric Lee and Cam Taylor-Britt at times, JoJo Doman at times, it's a little bit different, but I just felt like Nebraska had no answer for something that was plainly obvious by the second drive of the game from Indiana. They were going to attack the middle of Nebraska's defense and pick their spots with Boodle and Jackson. They have good receivers. They had other guys they could have went to. But they definitely knew where they wanted to attack, and Nebraska never moved them off of that spot. And I think that's part of defensive football, is you have to at least move them off of their number one game plan, and they didn't do it all day long.
It's interesting too, because I mean, you think back to what they did against Colorado, and I mean, for the most part, they kept Laviska Shenault in check. I mean, they're capable of doing it, but yeah, I mean, it didn't really seem like there was a whole lot of window dressing that Indiana was doing in those situations. And then, I mean, you had Ramsey leaking out and looking like Michael Vick at times too. You know, on third down when they needed
third and seven
needed to stop. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, there was no pressure hardly all game. I mean, there's one or two times where they got there. I think they got two sacks. But Nebraska just can't get a consistent pass rush out of their base. So then if they want to get exotic, it opens up, I think, other deficiencies on the back end of the defense. And so you're kind of screwed. Because Scott Frost was pretty blunt about it. He was asked, like, what do you do about the pass rush? And he more or less said, you got to go get better players. I mean, that's what he started talking about how he was watching Chase Young, and he said Chase Young was the pass rush for Ohio State, you know, against Wisconsin. So this is going to circle into recruiting, and you've somehow, some way got to, in their opinion, that's what he was saying after the game, you've got to find those type of elite difference makers who, like when they're at UCF, they had one in Shaquem Griffin. You know, like, he could turn a game on its ear just by himself and his singular talent against, like, Auburn, where he has four or five sacks or whatever.
Yeah.
You know, but those are tough guys to find, though. So that's where this is going.
That's entirely true, and no one would ever dispute better players makes it easier for them to do their job. But I just find it fascinating that they couldn't find other ways to scheme up a pass rush, to free up guys, yep, to confuse or provide different looks for Ramsey, who was so damn comfortable in there. You know, Brunts was talking about him getting cups of coffee as he was sitting in the backfield waiting for plays to open. I mean, some of it, we can dog on Nebraska's coverage, but some of it is you can't cover a guy for 7 seconds. Like, that's really hard. And so I was just a little bit miffed that Nebraska seemingly had no plan to move Indiana away from their number one option all day long. And if they did, I guess I might have missed it. And feel free to correct me in that. But other than trying a couple different people there, and it almost got to the point where I wondered when they were just going to take DiCaprio Boodle and move him to nickel and bring in Braxton Clark. Yep. I mean, if they're not throwing to the outside at some point, maybe that's the next route you have to go. Because teams are going to look at this and, you know, Nebraska has to figure out how they're going to beat Rondale Moore if he plays next week.
So you think Jeff Brohm isn't going to maybe take a gander and give that game film?
And Purdue needs just about anything after their performance against Illinois. And so if Rondale Moore plays, and no offense to WAP here, which, you know, feels...
I hope WAP's not listening to this. Man at 178 yards.
Yeah, obviously a talented player, but Rondale Moore is going to torch him. And this isn't the first time we've seen this.
Or the other kid, David Bell?
The Northwestern guy. And they had one weapon. They just, Flynn Nagel or whatever?
Flynn Nagel.
Flynn Beagle.
Nagel. It's Nagel.
Whatever. He, they threw to him all game long. Nebraska keeps matching up their linebackers with slot wide receivers and then wonders why they're getting torched. That can't happen.
It's one thing to do that if you're jamming them at the line of scrimmage or you're getting a pass rush, but when you're doing none of those things, that's a tough assignment for a guy like Colin Miller, who was recruited as a defensive end, to be out there covering a slot receiver.
Yeah, not the kind of game for your inside linebackers who traditionally want to play downhill and are being forced to play the horizontal points of the field. But this is where, you know, this is why they were brought here, to go and be, not to win games against Indiana. They were brought here for more than that. But given the bye week and everything else, I think it's fair to be disappointed. Not so much in Nebraska's performance, at least offensively, but just that they had no answers in what was readily apparent very early in that game.
It's going to be interesting to see what they do to kind of try to right this ship the last 5 weeks of the season. I mean, you got 4 games left. You've got a bye week in there. You've got a very winnable game, I think, at Purdue to potentially get to a bowl game. You've got another winnable game against the Maryland team that they've traveled to Minnesota today. I don't know how much football that was played there, but
Minnesota played football.
They played a lot of football. So you've got 2 winnable road games. You've got Wisconsin coming in. You've got Iowa coming in. That should be enough to get the juices going. But, you know, when you're having buy-in discussions and you're having these culture discussions this deep into the season, it seems to me that if you've got guys that are issues culturally in that way, you're probably not going to flip that at this point in the season. You know what I mean? Like, I think you kind of have to take a pretty hard look at your roster and see who's selling out for you, who's going to play for you. I think there's young guys on this team that will do that. I mean, I'm just curious to see what they do going forward, if anything, to maybe rock the boat a little bit or identify those guys that give them the best chance of going in there and being focused, you know, not doing stupid things, that kind of thing.
Yeah. They somehow have to be 6-5 when Iowa comes here. I mean, they've got to win those two road games that Brumps was saying.
When they show up like they did offensively today, they're going to have an opportunity to beat both of those teams.
Yeah, they should, but this defense is just so lost at sea right now. So I think every game is going to be.
Yeah. Oh, I'm not saying that they're. I'm not even penciling them in for a win anywhere. I'm just saying if they show up and play like they did offensively, if this isn't a mirage, if they have found some things and fixed some things in the bye week, then they have the offense that can compete against Purdue and Maryland. It's whether they can get a full team effort. Now, the one phase that we never talk about, they're still terrible on special teams. Why? It's inexplicable that you're kicking the ball off out of bounds. That shouldn't be happening. Your punter probably shouldn't be shanking punts at this point in his career. You miss another field goal. It just, how do these things always seemingly happen every single week? You go look at Indiana today, their punter had 3 punts, all 3 inside the 20, 2 inside the 10. They had outstanding play from their gunners. The only thing they didn't do well in terms of special teams, they struggled kicking it into the south end zone because of the wind. Nebraska had the same issue. We can talk about the defense and the offense. They're not even doing the small things right on special teams. There's just so much that isn't happening with this team that I don't understand how this isn't being corrected or how they aren't putting guys in better positions to be successful.
Yeah, it's going to be tough, especially now with their quarterbacks are all dinged up. I mean, I think QB is, if you're to say long-term, what's one of the thing you're like, okay, that's promising. You walk out of today feeling really good about quarterback. Like Noah Vedral, it was a big mistake. That it was a costly one. But if we can take the whole of his game, even when he was hurt at the end and he came in on the last drive, he looked pretty good, looked confident. And McCaffrey, for, you know, stepping into that role, like, you couldn't ask for a better performance. So you feel really good about that position, which is nice, but I do wonder, is Adrian Martinez joining the fray next week? I wonder if he might have to now, because I mean, even he was warming up at the end of this game, like he might come in. They were debating who was less hurt between him and Noah Vedral. That's the point they were. So it'll be interesting how they handle that, and they've somehow got to be 5-4 at that bye, and then, you know, you've got a shot to at least get yourself to a bowl. That's what it's all about now.
It's crazy. I mean, Nebraska, Vedral and McCaffrey combined to go 19 of 22 for 272, a touchdown, no interceptions, and they ran for, McCaffrey had 12 for 76, Vedral had 7 for 21 and 2 touchdowns. If you would have said that at the start of the game, what the score was, you would have guessed probably a comfortable double-digit win. Right,
I can't believe you'd leave J.D. Spielman's 122-yard pass off of that stat sheet.
It was a nice pass.
It was pretty wobbly
nice,
pass.
Yeah. Nice fingertip grab.
Yeah, it was a great catch.
It was a great catch. Yeah, and he had 22 yards receiving, too, so add that to the tally.
Combine what you just said about the QB play with they held Stevie Scott to 68 rushing yards. So if you knew all this stuff going in after the Minnesota game, you'd be like, hot dog, you know, they won it 38-14 or something, and no, that's not how
it looked like they were on their way to do something like that.
Yeah,
but as it often is for Nebraska, when they're on their way, they
that 351 yards passing by Peyton Ramsey also looms large in the conversation.
Yeah, we didn't see that coming.
Yeah, which then makes you wonder what happens if Michael Penix is in that game.
Who knows?
So, yeah, it's rough for Nebraska right now, but as we've kind of said, they just have to figure out a way to get to those extra practices with the bye week to get you guys to Detroit or to Fort Worth or to New York City or San Francisco. Brunt audibly sighed.
We're not going anywhere warm if we go anywhere, I can tell you that.
Foster Farms would be... do they let 6-6 teams into the... it's not even the
Foster
Farms.
They let 5-7 teams.
It's the
Red Box Bowl.
It'll always be the Foster Farms to me. It's like Peterman and Burma.
It'll always be Burma to me.
Isn't that Myanmar now?
Yeah.
So that's... I mean, that's the task for Nebraska. We'll be back at it next week with another podcast on Wednesday. We'll have plenty of coverage. Nebraska had one visitor in La Tarie Kinsler, and they had a number of walk-on guys in. TJ Bowler's also here, 2021, talented linebacker. You got to say this for Nebraska. When they do bring in their defensive recruits, they really show off the need. So one way or another, they're selling themselves. Maybe not the way that they want, but you can't look at that and think, man, it'd be tough to play there. So, you know, if you're looking for silver linings, that might be one. But we're hoping to have that recruiting coverage for you as well. Nebraska will be back with another press conference on Monday, and we will be back with another podcast on Wednesday.